What's good, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a blowout 31-12 Texas Longhorns victory over the Michigan Wolverines. It's a great day to be a Texas fan. I'll tell you what, we are getting a little spoiled here, Longhorns Nation. We're getting spoiled because Texas now in back-to-back seasons with signature road victories. Of course, last year, who could forget the big victory in Tuscaloosa, the Longhorns going in to the home, to the home of the Alabama Crimson Tide and getting the job done. I mean, that was kind of another, not as dominating, but I don't know. That Alabama win was huge. I don't know if this one is bigger just because I really don't know if this Michigan Wolverines team is of the same caliber of that Bama team. I'd probably lean no. But at the same time, huge win. Texas, rightfully so, was favored in this one. The line on Saturday last week, I think we talked about this, the line Saturday last week started out at -4. And by the end of the week, the line on this game was Texas -7.5. I mean, this was not a particularly close game the entire way through. Never really a doubt Texas was going to get this dub. And I think if you're a Longhorns fan, you've got to love what you're seeing from Quinn Ewers. We're going to talk about him. We're going to get into all of the key moments in this one, the notable performances on offense and on defense. But before we get started here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Longhorns, and especially the Longhorns on college football Saturdays. Appreciate y'all tuning in to Right on Rangers. A lot of different Longhorns content out there to consume post-game and throughout the week. Appreciate you guys choosing Right on Rangers for all of your Texas Longhorns needs. And we are going to try and bring you a good show today, going through, recapping the game today. We're going to talk through the box score, kind of get into some of the performances, not just the big notables, but we're also going to go through some of the guys that aren't going to get quite as much love in the media, but still very, very noteworthy performances. We're going to talk a little bit about the game next week, which after this week, kind of a little bit of a buzzkill, right? You have this big game against Michigan this week in the big house. You got college game day, I know it wasn't college game day. It was like, what, big noon Saturday for Fox. But nevertheless, you got this humongous matchup in week two, right? And the Longhorns pretty much stomp all over the Wolverines in this one. I mean, I think we can all agree. UTSA next week in Austin. So, hey, look, at least you get a nice home game here. But the next 2 weeks, we have UTSA, who actually gave the Longhorns a little bit of a scare. Was that last year, I believe? It was kind of a little bit of a scare there. The Longhorns needed a pick six late, I believe, to pull away from UTSA. So hopefully this game can be a little bit less drama, but we're going to go through that UTSA matchup a little bit later. Louisiana Monroe is the 21st, another home game. So kind of hard to go from big house, biggest stage, and then go to home against Louisiana Monroe and UTSA, but it is what it is. I love seeing the Longhorns, though, coming out and scheduling these big-time opponents. I know that the college football schedule is done so far in advance, years in advance, right? But I love seeing that Texas has decided to schedule some of these big names. And now that you have this 12-game playoff, I really do hope that the Longhorns continue to schedule some of these big opponents. I think it's great for the brand. You can actually, in this new 12-team format for the playoffs, you can lose a game and you can still bounce back. So for me, I am very, very happy to see Texas getting a big stage and getting to play some of the big brand name universities. Michigan clearly going to be a little bit down this year, but at the same time, you go into the big house, you go into A2, you go into Ann Arbor, and you get a big win like this. People take notice. I think a lot of people are going to be down on Michigan after this. I'm sure they'll drop quite a bit, and rightfully so. They look like they have a number of different issues on both sides of the ball. Harbaugh, obviously an outstanding coach. I'm curious to see how he's going to do with the Chargers this year. I don't know. I think Harbaugh is a winner. Everywhere he goes, I think he makes the team better. whether they win it all or not. I think Harbaugh does always in that first year make an impact. So I'm curious to see how the Chargers do, but it's clear Michigan going to be missing Coach Harbaugh. And, you know, I don't know what their landscape is like in terms of the transfer portal, how many guys decided to stay, leave. It's hard enough keeping up with Longhorns and their roster, but I would say it's probably going to be a little bit of a down year for Michigan. Not saying they're going to suck or be terrible, but look, I think this was a measuring stick. Michigan did not look dominant against Fresno State last week. I know a lot of people are probably going to downplay this win. All the Texas haters probably going to be downplaying this one because that's just kind of how it goes. Do y'all remember by the end of the season last year, there were people downplaying the Alabama win in Tuscaloosa? Alabama, they're not the same. They're not on the same level as they've been in years past. There were a lot of people downplaying the Alabama game by the end of the season. So, you know, just naturally, the haters are going to be downplaying this win at some point later on in the season. It's just going to happen. Prepare for it. Book it. Especially if Michigan doesn't end up winning 10 games. If they end up something like, you know, 8-4, 9-3, you know that they're going to be downplaying this win for the Horns. But let them. I really do think that this team is going to be a one-loss team this year at worst. I could see this team potentially losing two games. I don't think they're going to go undefeated. I think they have a couple of really tough matchups the Longhorns do down the stretch. I mean, you've got, like I said, UTSA, Louisiana Monroe coming up next two. You got Mississippi State at home on the 28th, so three home games in a row. Red River is going to be interesting. It always is. And Georgia is going to be interesting. I think those two games are really the only ones that I would really be worrying about. I know the A&M game is going to be one that a lot of people circle as a question mark, you know, rivalry, all that good stuff. I really think the two games that are going to determine the rest of the Longhorn season, whether they go undefeated or a one loss, I think it's going to be those back-to-back weeks, Oklahoma and Georgia, October 12th and October 19th. I think those are going to be the weeks that really tell you what this Texas team is going to be like down the stretch. If you see quality wins against Oklahoma and then maybe a tight win against Georgia, who obviously is incredibly legit, I'm not holding my breath in that Georgia game. Do I think the Longhorns are going to be competitive in the Georgia game? Absolutely. I don't think Georgia is going to be blowing out Texas. I think Georgia could win the game, no doubt. But I think that is going to be a great game, and the Longhorns are at home. I might feel a little bit differently if the Longhorns were on the road. I could see that one maybe getting out of hand, but I think Texas in Austin against Georgia, I think it's going to be a good game. Texas has shown over the last couple of seasons that they can hang in the big games. You haven't seen over the past 2 years the meltdowns in big games. Has Texas lost games? Yes, absolutely. Have you seen them just straight up get punked? I would say no, not over the past two seasons. Even Bryce Young in Alabama, when they came in to Austin a couple years ago, that game easily could have gone the Longhorns' way, even though they took the L in that one. They easily could have won that game. And of course, Quinn Ewers was hurt in that game as well. I think Texas has shown you over the last two games that they can hang and they can compete with some of the top talent in college football. And I do believe that they are rightfully so right now, a top five team in the NCAA. Probably going to be top three. Maybe I think they're ranked number three right now. I know number four was last week. I don't know if they're going to be moving up any after this win today. If I had to guess, probably not. We'll see them top three again when the rankings come out. Now, again, when the CFP comes out with their rankings, it can change. But I think Texas is rightfully ranked. A lot of times the Longhorns can come into the season and they are overhyped. They are overranked. That's happened so many times. If you've been a diehard, a Longhorns fan for a long time, you know there's been plenty of times we've been ranked pretty high coming into the year, and a lot of people doubting the high ranking. I don't really think that you can doubt why this team is ranked as high as they are with what they've been able to accomplish the past three seasons. Look, I don't know. I definitely think definitely think that they got it right this year with the Longhorns preseason ranking, no doubt. Quinn Ewers is trying to, I think, get that number one pick in the draft next year. I mean, if he can pull that off, if he can keep doing what he's doing, I think that's going to play and look really good on him not going to the NFL. I mean, I don't know. I think he's got a legitimate chance to go very high in round one if he can keep this up. And the Heisman is absolutely on the table. Absolutely on the table. Baseball Network, what's up? Let me get some comments here. A lot of people say that. I do want y'all to see very clearly. I want y'all to see this is a Texas hat. This is more of a baseball hat, by the way. You don't see this a lot with football, but I love pretty much all Texas Longhorn sports. This is more of a hat that baseball will wear, although I'm kind of a little bit interested to see now that they are in the SEC if they'll go away from this hat. Look, I love the tee. I love this hat. I know it does look like the ball is a little bit. I think the font is a little bit different, but I promise we got the flag here. We got the Longhorn, the state of Texas right here. Maybe I just need to wear it like this. I don't know. Anyways, appreciate all y'all. I know now that we're in the SEC, maybe you're going to see this tee a little less, but it's all good. I'm not too worried about it. Like I said on the live last week, we're going to see who gets to wear the tee when they play the Vols a little bit later on. When they play the Volunteers at some point, I don't think it's this season. Looking at the schedule right now, I don't think we get Tennessee this year. I'm sure we'll get them next year. But the Longhorns are built to be good for a while. I think we are going to definitely be seeing who's the real team with the T on the hat, if you know what I mean. Who's the real UT? That was another debate. Is University of Tennessee gets to keep the UT moniker? Whatever. We'll see who the real UT is when they play each other, probably next year. If I had to guess, this year, Tennessee not on the schedule. So let's talk about the game today. Let's get into some individual performances. Look, Arch Manning, just before I get into Ewers, because Ewers is kind of the big lead, I think, for today. I think Arch is doing the right thing by staying. I think he could have probably done the transfer portal thing, maybe pouted about Quinn coming back. I really actually think it was a great move. I think it was a great move that he decided to stick around, get another year with Sark in the offense, get another year behind Quinn. Quinn is a great quarterback. I think that it was a great move that he decided to stay. I absolutely did not know how that was going to play out. When Quinn decided to come back, I wondered, you know, the Mannings and the Manning family, they're saying a lot of nice things, but are they going to, in fact, actually keep Arch there? Is Arch going to stay at UT if Quinn comes back for another season? And I'm glad that he stuck around, and I think he's going to be better for it. I'm glad that they're getting at least some playing time for Arch. You saw Arch come into the game last week. And then I think over the next couple of weeks, you're definitely going to see Arch as well get some playing time against Louisiana Monroe, against UTSA. I can't imagine that those are going to be super close games. You never know. That's why you got to line up and get between the white lines. But I can't imagine UTSA, Louisiana Monroe are going to be extremely tight from bookend to bookend. You know how it goes. Maybe early, there's a little bit of competition here and there, but this Texas team looks pretty dominant right now. Of course, again, Oklahoma, Georgia, 12th and the 19th of October, back-to-back weeks. That is going to be the real test there. But I think Texas can hang with anybody. I'm not predicting an undefeated season, so I don't want anybody twisting my words. But I do think that they are going to be probably, if I had to guess, a one-loss team this year. Could they run the table? 100%. Is that Oklahoma, Georgia back-to-back going to be really tough on the team? It's going to challenge them. Oklahoma, that's an emotional week. Red River always is. And then you got to turn around after going to battle against your rivals, Oklahoma. And then you got to gear up for the best team in college football, the Georgia Bulldogs. So I think it's going to be a tough order to go 2-0. I would love to be proven wrong. My best bet, though, is Longhorns go 1-1. I think we're going to get one of those wins, but I don't think we're going to get both. Please prove me wrong. But if I am just trying to be as objective as possible, I do think that is going to be a gauntlet for Texas. Again, hope to be proven wrong. What if we play Tennessee in a bowl game? Yeah, I think it's going to have to be, it might have to be something like who's got the better record. I don't know. But I think that that's probably not going to happen unless it's a playoff game. If it's a playoff game, possibly, but if it's just a regular bowl game, usually they don't pair up SEC versus SEC. They try and have a little variety there. So probably not going to be an issue until we play each other in the playoffs. Dog Nation, I don't know if you guys are still hanging out, but appreciate y'all tuning in. Look, that's going to be a great game. I don't know if Texas is going to get the win in that one. I do like that it's at home. The Dogs are legit. Georgia Bulldogs are legit this year. Look, if I wasn't betting Longhorns, I'm betting Georgia to win it all. In fact, coming into the season, I think Georgia was like 3-1 odds. That felt like incredible value for the Georgia Bulldogs, getting 3-1. I think at one point it was 4-1 odds to win it all. I think that is incredible, incredible value. So I absolutely think that that Georgia team is going to do amazing things this year. I'm excited for the matchup. I'm excited for it. Do I think that the Longhorns are going to get waxed against the Dogs? No, I don't. I could see maybe it's a one-possession game and maybe the Dogs pull away late. I could also see Texas squeaking it out at home. Got the momentum, especially if they win Red River. If Texas can win Red River, then you got momentum even more so. You have another probably top 25 win under your belt. I do think they go into that game with a lot of swag and confidence. You lose Red River and you get a little beat up. I think that Georgia game could be interesting, but I still say I think Longhorns are going to go 1-1 back-to-back 12th, 19th in October. But I hope 2-0. I hope to be wrong, but I'm trying to give y'all at least as fair and unbiased opinion as I can. Clearly, I'm wearing the Texas shirt and the Texas hat, but we try to just call it like it is as much as possible. It's not always easy to do, but that's my prediction. That's my prediction. Football Network, who are you looking for? Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. Yeah, the comments get a little weird. I don't get to all of them. You just got to pass over and ignore some of them. But I appreciate you tuning in, though. We're talking Longhorns football, talking Michigan versus Texas today. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate the comments. Yeah, OU is SEC as well. OU and Texas make the big move over to the SEC this year. Ah, this makes more sense. Appreciate you. I thought I recognized it. So thanks for clarifying. I appreciate that. All right, y'all. Let's keep things rolling. We got to go through some of the notable performers from today. Quinn Ewers, I think you got to go to him first. Potential Heisman winner. Definitely a guy that's going to be looked at for the first round next year as a quarterback if he continues this trajectory this season. 24 for 36, 246 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns. He had a touchdown in the passing game to 3 different receivers, Gunnar Helm, Matthew Golden, Jaden Blue. And all of those were impressive touchdowns. I know the one to Blue was kind of on the swing pass, I believe, but Gunnar Helm finding him, I was super impressed. I said this last week, super impressed with Quinn Ewers' pocket presence and his ability to evade and step up in the pocket. And on that Gunnar Helm touchdown, you watched him do that beautifully. That Gunnar Helm touchdown was outstanding. You saw him step up. This was first quarter to go up 7-0. He steps up, sidesteps, evades the rush, and then delivers a strike down the middle to Gunnar Helm, who had a career day today. Gunnar Helm, we go through his numbers. He had 7 receptions, 98 yards, almost went for 100 on the day, touchdown as well. Career day for Gunnar Helm, no doubt. Isaiah Bond, 3 receptions for 51 yards. He had a really, really nice catch early on in the game. Quinn Ewers kind of threaded the needle. Look, that was a tough play. You know you're going to get hit, and Bond makes a great over-the-shoulder catch, gets a little pop, holds on to it. I really love that Bond acquisition in the transfer portal. Bond didn't get involved in the running game today. Of course, he kind of had that end around in week one, but they did not involve him in the running game at all today. They did get Ryan Wingo involved, and he just got stopped short. I thought Ryan Wingo was going to take that to the house. He just got pulled down at the goal line, about the 2 or 3 yard line. Running game, 143 yards, definitely as a collective unit. I thought the running game was sound. You didn't really have anybody taking charge per se. Nobody over 4 yards a carry today, except Ryan Wingo, 1 rush for 55 yards. But Gibson, Blue, You had Wisner as well. All those guys under 4 yards of carry. Gibson did have a rushing touchdown, long of 11. But look, as a team, 143 yards on the ground. Wingo definitely helps pad that. Without the Wingo run, I don't think that the team got over 143. We know Michigan is built well up front. This wasn't ever going to be a game where you were going to run wild. But I do think the Longhorns did well to get over 143 yards on the ground. And they're still kind of figuring it out. They had all of the injuries to the running backs at the beginning of the season, even in camp before the season started, right? So I can kind of imagine they're probably going to need a few games to get real, real comfortable. Nevertheless, you go over 140 yards on the ground with a touchdown. Impressive day. We talked Gunnar Helm, career day, 98 yards through the air. Golden had another touchdown today, 6 receptions for 41 yards. Jaden Blue, good to see him active in the passing game out of the backfield. He had on the day a total of 59 yards all-purpose, 6 receptions, 37 through the air, long of 23. So the offense was clicking today. 31 yards in the big house in Ann Arbor against Michigan, known for their defensive prowess. I think you got to love what you saw. Got to love what you saw. Now, let's lock in just a little bit more here on Quinn Ewers. I think Quinn obviously is going to be a Heisman candidate all season long. When he does play Oklahoma, Georgia, the lights are going to get a little bit brighter. Eyes are going to be on him much, much more. If Quinn delivers in those two games, I think it is going to be hard to not project him as a top five pick in the draft. If not, maybe even talk about him as number one overall. Quinn has always had the intangibles. He's always had the skill set to be an NFL quarterback. I think when he first took over this team, looked a little bit unsure at times. They weren't really completely unleashing him in the passing game. It feels like he is totally like all restraints off and just able to sling that thing around as he pleases. And I think this is a special version of Quinn Ewers that we're getting this year. Again, the pocket presence, we talked about that on the Gunnar Helm touchdown, stepping up in the pocket, evading the rush, making good decisions under pressure. And then you're seeing him just totally, just the accuracy, just laser shots right at guys. I mean, some of the passes he had to, I believe it was in the passing game to Golden. I think even the one to Golden today was a beautiful ball right on the money. Kind of going out of the end zone, right? We had Golden kind of going left to right, going east-west, and catching it right there at the edge of the end zone, going out of bounds. So Ewers is lacing it in there and connecting with receivers, and the accuracy is on point. Look, 24 for 36. I'm sure Quinn will tell you that he'd love to be over 70%, 24 for 36. You're high 60s, still very respectable. I'm sure Quinn will tell you he'd love to have some of those back. But look, on the day, got to love what we saw from Quinn Ewers commanding the offense out there. And I think the receiving core is going to be just fine. Gunnar Helm emerging as a favorite target of Quinn Ewers. We all know Isaiah Bond has got an incredible skill set. I'm just kind of curious to see how the running backs come along. Again, nobody real dominant today, but Michigan defense, definitely challenging. I'm hopeful that as you play against the Louisiana Monroes and UTSAs, that one of these guys will really start to solidify themselves as the dude back there. Clearly, they've got a little bit of a committee system going right now with the running backs. I'd like to see somebody emerge. I mean, if they just want to roll with this the whole season, if it's working, go for it. But I think it's always preferable when you've got one guy that kind of steps up as that lead back, whether it's running the football or a guy that can be relied on in the passing attack. So the fact that Jaden Blue gets 6 receptions today, maybe we're seeing a little bit of Blue kind of becoming that guy that is going to be the passing down back. And then you're seeing Wisner, he had a couple of receptions today. Looks like, though, by and large, Blue is the passing down back. And Gibson is going to be the workhorse that's getting a majority of the carries. But that being said, Gibson has 10, Blue has 9 carries, Wisner has 8. So, look, I'm definitely thinking that at this point, they're just trying to see who's going to step up, who's going to be that back that we can count on running the football. Seems like Blue has kind of solidified himself a little bit in the passing game, but who's going to step up and be the guy that they can really count on running between the guards and the tackles and getting those tough yards, getting those tough yards when you're playing some of these big boy SEC teams. Let me keep things rolling here. I'm going to go to comments a little bit here, and we'll see what we got. The flags. Let me go here. So looking at the box score, I always like to compare the penalties and all that good stuff. So let me see if I can find it and lock in here. Let me keep going. Come on now. Where are you at? Ah, team stats. Let's get the exact numbers here for this. So penalties, 7 flags on Texas for 45 yards. Michigan, 4 flags for 30 yards. Clearly, during the game, and I know not all of us maybe watched the entire game. For me, it was one of those days where just the eye test and then the score being what it was, you really felt like the flags weren't as big of a deal, because for me, I just thought Texas was going to overcome just about anything today. It did not look like anything was really going to slow them down. So I didn't find myself getting as frustrated about the penalties. That being said, 7, not ideal. 45 yards, though, clearly the penalties were not killing them. But you don't want to see the down marker get reset. You don't want to see them getting first downs off of those penalties that are automatics. So 7, I'm sure that Sark would like to see a more disciplined team in that way for next week. Michigan, only 4 penalties. But look, you win the turnover battle. I mean, Michigan had 3 turnovers. They lost a fumble. They got picked off twice. Today, Texas was just suffocating. So I really did not find myself getting too upset about the penalties. That being said, you know Sark and you know the coaches are going to be on those guys this week in practice to be more disciplined. So you can't do 7 penalties against some of the big teams in the SEC. Can't give Georgia, can't give Oklahoma, can't give teams like that free first downs with penalties. So I'm sure that that's something that they're going to be emphasizing in practice. Let's see if we got anything else here. So third down efficiency, Texas goes 10 for 16 on third down. That's dominating. 10 for 16 on third down. Outstanding. On the defensive side, Michigan goes 3 for 12. So this Texas defense, I mean, it was 31 to 6 going into the third quarter. This is a suffocating defense. Suffocating defense. And I'm seeing a few comments on TikTok here that are going to fit in well here. The only worry that I really have just looking at the defense, looking at the offense, is Georgia. That is the only worry that I have. Oklahoma, I think, could be interesting, but I think we can beat Oklahoma. I don't feel super nervous for that game. I think that Oklahoma is a team that we can absolutely beat. I think we should have beat them back-to-back seasons. So for me, I definitely am only really, really concerned about Georgia, but I feel decent that we have the dogs at home. And I think that if we can beat Oklahoma, win Red River, have that momentum, personally, I think they've got a shot to win that Georgia game. If it was on the road, I'd feel probably a little bit less confident. But I think this Texas team is a team that's going to be able to hang with just about anybody. Are they going to be able to seal the deal against a team like Georgia? Who knows? I don't think that we can really, truly say that. They've got to line up and play the game. Do I think the Horns are going to get blown out or punked on October 19th against the Dogs? No, I don't. I would be shocked if Dogs come in and just blow them out in Austin. I'd be interested to see what the line is on that game. I'm sure Vegas already has it out at this point. Maybe you can bet on it already. But I would think Georgia favored. And I would think it would probably be less than a touchdown, maybe somewhere between 3 and 6, something like that. That would be my prediction at this point. I guess we got to see how Georgia plays the rest of the way. But for me, I think Georgia's the only one I'm worried about. Storm says on TikTok, Georgia and A&M, only ones I'm worried about. Look, I don't think A&M has the horses to run with us. Is it kind of one of those weird rivalry games? Absolutely. But I don't think A&M has the horses that we do. I think just on paper, we should beat A&M by multiple touchdowns. I don't think that Notre Dame is better than Texas right now. And Notre Dame looked pretty in control in College Station last week. Would y'all agree? I thought Notre Dame looked very in control in College Station. I know it was close at times. I never really felt, though, like the Aggies were a better football team than Notre Dame. I felt like Notre Dame came in and did a nice job controlling things. In fact, I think there's an argument to be made. Notre Dame could have pulled away in that game and missed out on opportunities. That game could have been uglier in Notre Dame's favor. So for me, I'm not really worried about A&M. What worries me is the atmosphere, the rivalry, maybe a little bit getting in the boys' head. I don't know. But on paper, I can't really sit here just eye test and tell you, yeah, that's going to be a tough game. I think we've got better players than A&M, better coaching than A&M. Sark continues to impress me with what he's able to dial up and draw up for the offense. I think we've got Elko beat in the coaching department. I think that they have definitely some dudes on the line offensively, defensively. They've got some athletes, no doubt. But I think in comparison, it's Texas. So we'll see. The game, too, I think it's fair to say this. A lot of us, early 2000s, 90s, 80s, we know the A&M matchups from that 30-year time period very well. But look, I don't know. Is this going to be completely the same rivalry? Clearly, I don't like the Aggies. I don't like A&M. But I'm curious to see, is this going to have the same feel as it once did? And more importantly, is this going to be a back-and-forth rivalry, or is it going to be one that Texas dominates? Because we had some games and we had some years. I mean, go back to the Colt McCoy years. I mean, there were some dominations of the Aggies, and the Aggies clearly have gotten some wins off of us as well. But I don't know. In this Sark era, I'm curious to see. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of hype, but is it really going to be a close series while Sark has this team in Austin absolutely cooking and dominating at this point? Yes, disappointing loss to the end of last season, but Sark's got this team pretty much hanging with anybody. I think that A&M is going to be 100% up for that game, even if they are not with it in the standings. It'll be their Super Bowl if they're not going to be in the playoff. Right now, they're 1-1. I don't think they're ranked. So we'll see what happens. But I'm really only worried about Georgia at this point. And there's a lot of games to be played before A&M. Let's see how A&M does the rest of the way. But I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. That Georgia game, I think, is the only one that's going to give me a little bit of pause. Yep. Hey, it works out well. My name's Austin. The Horns play in Austin. That's where my parents actually met up. They both went to college in Austin. So that's how I got my name. Fun fact. So it runs in the family. We love our Texas sports, and we especially love our boys in Austin, Texas Longhorns, 100%. It's in the family. So big-time Longhorns fans in my family, no doubt. And it's a good season to be a Longhorns fan, isn't it? It feels like, I'm not saying natty. I'm not saying national championship. But it's going to be a fun year. I think the Longhorns are going to win a lot of games. My prediction from the beginning of the season has been one loss. Could I see them going undefeated? Yes, if they win the Georgia game. I don't think anybody else is really going to knock them off. That Georgia game, to me, is the one. I don't think Quinn Ewers and company are going to be seeding a lot of the other games at all this season. In fact, I think that they are going to manhandle some teams this year, even in the SEC. A lot of haters talking about the Horns coming to SEC and getting a wake-up call. I don't know, y'all. We already kind of been there, done that with Bama in Tuscaloosa. And then 2 years ago, we should have beat Bama in Austin. I think Bama got some fortunate calls. And, of course, Quinn gets injured. We should have beat Bama back-to-back years. So I think we've already shown we can hang with the SEC's best. I think you're going to see the Longhorns manhandle some of these SEC teams. I don't think that some of these SEC matchups that the Longhorns have this year are going to be particularly close. I'm sure some of them will be. And usually over the course of a season, you always have a couple of bad games where it's closer than what it should have been. But that's how I feel. That's the confidence level that I have. And trust me, I have not always felt this way about the Horns. I'll be very honest with you because I plan to do this for a long time. I'll be very honest with you. When the Longhorns don't have that team this year, don't have that team. You know what I mean? So this year, I think they do. Again, not saying they win at all, but I would be shocked if they lose more than one game this year. I don't think that they're going to do it. I think a two loss, even if they, let's say they do lose two, I think a two loss Texas probably still gets into the 12-team playoff. I'm curious about how they're going to work it all in the rankings and everything. But I do think a two-loss Texas probably still gets in. One-loss Texas, no doubt, is getting in. But I think a two-loss Texas is going to be in, no problem. So I think one loss this year, two max. But I'm thinking we go one loss, double-digit wins again, and have a legitimate shot at winning a national title. Somebody says right now on TikTok, Bama would put up 31 on Texas. Come on now. Bama, pretty much the last 2 years, hadn't been able to hang with Texas. Look, Bryce Young, the number one pick in the draft a couple years ago. Look, I still say a couple of calls went Bama's way in Austin. Quinn Ewers, you lose to injury. But Texas could have easily won that game had Quinn been healthy the entire time. And also had the Longhorns gotten a couple of calls their way. No doubt. No doubt. So Texas is going to be tough. I'm glad we got some different fans in the chat. Hey, y'all know I'm not one of those fans. I mean, look, I'm diehard Texas Longhorns. Let me get that out there right now. But I love hanging out with all college football fans. Look, I've got a ton of buddies that love different. I've got one of my best buddies, Arkansas fan. So I'm seeing you right now, Sky Shouter. Look, one of my best buddies, big Arkansas fan. I actually, if I had to have a second team in the SEC, it would be the Hogs. I like seeing the Hogs do well. Clearly don't want to see them do well when they play the Longhorns later this season. But anytime the Hogs are playing, I find myself cheering for them. So, look, I love fans from all backgrounds. I got a bunch of buddies that I grew up with that are Aggies fans. We love to give each other a hard time. Look, hook them, no doubt. But I definitely love the back and forth with everybody. So I'm not one of those that's trying to turn people away. Hey, if you're a Georgia fan, you want to come hang out and talk Longhorns. You're a Tennessee fan, want to talk some Longhorns, want to talk some SEC football, I'm here for it. So y'all know that. Those of y'all that are dropping in for the first time, I'm down to talk just about any team in the SEC. It's all relevant. We're going to emphasize the Longhorns clearly. Going to talk about the Longhorns game, break it down for you, give you some post-game analysis. But then we just get to start talking football. So, hey, appreciate y'all. Let's see. Book Bullies, appreciate the comment. He says, as an Ole Miss diehard, welcome to the SEC. Way to represent. Hey, appreciate you. Look, Ole Miss, I don't know if the Longhorns have Ole Miss this year. I know we have Mississippi State, so we'll be happy to beat Mississippi State for you, Book Bullies. We'll be happy to get it done. But no Ole Miss this year. Looks like for SEC opponents, Longhorns have Mississippi State in the SEC opener. That's going to be in Austin on the 28th. Then you got Oklahoma. You got Georgia. Vandy is the 26th. You got Florida in Austin. You got Arkansas on the road on November 16th. And then you got Kentucky coming to Texas before the big rivalry game with the Texas A&M Aggies on November 30th. So there we go. That is the rundown of SEC teams. So look, we're going to do our best this year to make everybody else in the SEC proud. Hey, we already beat up on the Big Ten for everybody in SEC Nation. So we're going to continue to do our thing. Look, the next few weeks, Longhorns, not going to be that well tested, I don't think, against UTSA, Louisiana Monroe. Still got to get up for those games and get wins, but really starts getting real on September 28th. That's the SEC opener against Mississippi State. We're going to enjoy that one. That's going to be the real first big taste of the SEC. And then after that Mississippi State game, you got Oklahoma and Georgia back-to-back. That's brutal. That's brutal. I mean, maybe in some ways it's a good thing, but that's two tough teams back-to-back. If I had to make a prediction, I think Oklahoma we take care of. I think Georgia is going to be the interesting one, no doubt. I agree. Book Bullies is saying here, any team that has a coach that came from Saban Academy is a threat. Look, I really do feel like Sark is trying to build Alabama, Saban Alabama, I should say, 2.0. And I think he's doing a pretty good job of it at this point. Sark, I think, is just such a great story, by the way. So clearly had some issues at USC that he's been open about. The alcohol, the drinking problem that he had at USC and just totally failing as a head coach out there at a big-time university, the USC Trojans. Goes to Alabama, you know, does the offensive coordinator thing for Saban, takes the job at UT, and didn't hit the ground running, right? It wasn't, you know, 10-win season under Sark first year. And there's been, believe it or not, I've never really been of the mindset Sark out, but there were some Longhorns fans that wanted Sark out after the first couple of seasons. I mean, look, you can't make it up. And college football, it demands success pretty much right away. But there were some Longhorns fans that wanted Sark out after a couple of years. I personally didn't get it. I'm a big, like, grass is not always greener kind of person. We've talked about this. For those of y'all that have been listening and tuning into me for a while, I am just not a big fan of dumping head coaches left and right. I think you got to give them time to build. Look, if you're not winning games by year three, in my opinion, that's when you're on the hot seat. Year one, year two, you got to be having the team playing some pretty putrid, awful football for me to want to fire you after year one or year two. So I think what you're seeing with Sark is a process that's played itself out very nicely. And I think we've got Saban Alabama 2.0 with Sark. That is just my gut feeling. I'm not saying that we're about to reel off as many championships as Saban did with Bama. Don't get me wrong. Don't put words in my mouth. But I do think the talent, right, the dominant performances, the team that can play anywhere, road, home, big opponent, whatever the case may be, I think that they have a juggernaut that's been built under Steve Sarkisian. His offensive mastermind, the prowess there with the play calling is in full effect. I think you're seeing the creativity come out, and you know that he's holding on to some cards for that OU matchup and for that Georgia Bulldog matchup. You know he's not showing everything right now. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun this year in the SEC. Hook 'em horns, no doubt. Look, Natty is a possibility. I'm not on here with a proclamation of national championship 2024 or 2025, technically. Not yet. Let's see how we do with OU and Georgia. We beat OU and Georgia back-to-back. Then I'm going to be more on that page 100%. But right now, let's see what happens. Let me keep going through TikTok, by the way. Christopher, if you're still hanging out, appreciate that. He says, good game, Texas. Y'all looking good. Then he says, go blue. Look, we talked about Michigan a little bit. You know that the Michigan game this week is going to get downplayed eventually, like at the end of the season when we're doing the debate. And I think the big debate is going to be about where teams get seeded in the top 12, right? So if Texas is a one-loss team, where should they be seeded, right? How do they stack up against everybody? And I think that's going to become kind of the big deal. Of course, it's going to be, you know, the teams that are 12th, 13th, 14th, who gets in just barely. But I think a big debate is going to be the seeding, right? The 1 through 12, the matchups that the college football committee, the playoff committee comes up with, I think those are going to be some of the big debates that we have. And you know, when they're debating those things, they're going to try and downplay this Michigan win. Yeah, they're not the same. Harbaugh, yeah, they were top 10 ranked at the time or whatever Michigan was ranked coming into this one. But, you know, they were not that good, not the same Michigan. And they're going to downplay this loss. The haters will. Y'all know that. You got to know that. So I hope that Michigan selfishly, I hope that Michigan still does pretty decent this year. So this win looks better and better. The worst thing would be if Michigan just went ahead and lost four or five games this season. You want this win to continue to look good. So I'm cheering for Michigan to do well from here on out. I don't really know if there's a game I'm going to root against them. I mean, look, if they lose, it's not going to ruin my day. So don't get me wrong. But the more Michigan wins at this point, the better the Longhorns look. So personally, I'm hoping that Michigan bounces back strong. That's just me, but I'm not going to be crying if they lose a couple more. But it does benefit the Longhorns if Michigan has a good rest of the season. They do need to find their identity. Christopher, reading your comment right now, he says Michigan needs to find that identity on offense. They will. Unfortunately, they had the horns week two. That is best case scenario for Longhorns Nation and, of course, for Michigan Nation, for Wolverines Nation as well. You want to see Michigan do well if you're a Longhorns fan. Again, the worst thing that could happen is they lose four or five games this year and this win doesn't look that good. You want to see them lose max of two games. So I'd like to see Michigan lose no more than one game down the stretch. The Ohio State game is obviously going to be tough. but I would like to see them lose no more than one more game. Two-loss Michigan still looks like a really good win, I think. Three-loss, four-loss, five-loss Michigan, now we're not looking so good. And then you really do have to rely on the SEC wins to get you to a good seeding in the playoff. And, you know, potentially, I mean, God forbid the Longhorns have a couple meltdowns this year. I don't think they will. But if you're a two-loss, three-loss Longhorns team, now it's getting interesting for making the playoff. I do think a Texas two-loss team gets in just because of the quality of opponents that they play. I do think a two-loss Texas gets in. A three-loss Texas, it's going to get really interesting, y'all, with the playoff. Are they going to let three-loss teams in? I don't know. I don't know if three-loss teams are going to be getting in the playoff. It could be kind of crazy these first couple of seasons with what happens, but my guess would be you probably don't see a lot of three-loss teams getting in. Definitely two-loss teams, though. I think you've got a very good shot, especially if you're like Texas and you're playing quality opponents for non-conference. And I think, to be completely honest, you should be almost required to play a big non-conference if you're one of these big schools in the Big Ten or in the SEC. It should almost be a requirement because you do have that leeway and you do have that ability to make the playoff losing a couple of games. Whereas with the old system, you really didn't as much. You could lose one game, you lose two, and you're pretty much out of it. And that is what discouraged a lot of ADs from going out there and scheduling the big-time matchup. But this matchup was outstanding, outstanding for college football. Michigan versus Texas, that is a classic matchup. Two of the most winningest teams in college football history. We need more matchups like this in college football. There's nothing more boring. I mean, look, A&M, credit to them. They played Notre Dame and they scheduled them week one. So as much as I hate the Aggies and don't like them at all, I got to give them props and respect. They actually scheduled a quality non-conference opponent and they didn't do it even in week two or week three. They did it in week one. So as much as you might hate the Aggies, and I do, I have to respect the fact that they actually scheduled good out-of-conference games. Look, they played McNeese State today. By the way, I don't know if y'all caught my video. I wasn't able to make a video on this. I usually put out a bunch of shorts on college game day. So this season, kind of a fun thing that I do with my Texas Rangers coverage. I think y'all probably noticed my Rangers in the background here. I'm a huge Texas Rangers fan. Y'all know I love pretty much everything Texas sports, mostly the DFW sports. Texas Longhorns are my college team, but Rangers, yes, we like the Cowboys here at Right on Rangers, and then the Dallas Mavericks as well. I'm making basically a little bit of a challenge in this season, betting 1 cent for every follower against Texas A&M every Saturday. Now, this weekend, A&M was a 49.5 point dog. Excuse me. McNeese State was a 49.5 point dog against A&M. They actually covered the spread, and I wasn't able to bet it today because it was one of those extra not games that was really on the normal slate, at least last night when I was trying to make the bet. It wouldn't let me do it because the game wasn't even on the market at that point because of the large point spread. You know, sometimes the books will carry those big point spread games, but they were not carrying McNeese State plus 49.5, at least the ones that I go to. And it was a disappointment. I was bummed to see it because McNeese State actually covered the 49.5 points today. So, look, you love to see it. I love the Aggies loss last week. And I'm rooting for every team to cover the spread against against the Aggies this year. And I'll be doing a video, doing a challenge every Saturday, highlighting that bet and hopefully making a lot of money off of it. That is the goal. Hook 'em horns. Hook 'em horns, everybody. I see y'all on TikTok. I appreciate you. All right, let me see here. I'm a Texas fan and we always sell out. So this is CD who on TikTok says, I'm a Texas fan and we always sell out for the Cotton Bowl game. Look, I will admit that the rivalry has been up and down. The OU-Texas rivalry has been a little up and down the last several years. So for anyone whose memory is a little bit foggy, let's just go through last 5 years. Let's see if we can get the results here. So last 5 years, OU wins 34-30 last year, a game Texas should have won, 100% Texas should have won last year. Texas wins 49-0 in 2022. We lose 55-48 in 21. And in 20, we lose 53-45 in quadruple overtime. And then before that, we lost a couple more times. So look, Texas over the last 5 years has not gotten a lot of Red River wins. I do think this is a different team, kind of like Colt McCoy. Y'all remember McCoy's senior year when we went all the way to the championship? I think this kind of reminds me of that type of team, Colt McCoy's senior year team, where they went all the way. I think that this is that kind of team. I think Ewers and the maturation, much like Colt McCoy, when McCoy first started as a true freshman, he didn't look like he was going to become the NFL Heisman guy that he did his junior and senior year. I don't think anybody predicted from sophomore year to junior year the leap that he was going to make. I think this feels like Colt McCoy senior year. That's what this season feels like to me with Quinn Ewers, with the offensive weapons that they have, with the outstanding defense that they have. And we haven't even talked about Benda yet with 7 tackles today. Defense was suffocating. It was 31-6 going into the fourth quarter, and the defense didn't allow a touchdown until less than 2 minutes left in the game. This does feel like Colt McCoy senior year all over again, and I do think Quinn is on another level this year. I think he's continued to get better each year that he's been the starter. It's a good thing that he came back. Look, I'm going to be totally real because I don't sit up here and pretend like I don't ever make mistakes or make bad picks or have bad takes. I do. Not perfect, but I was a little bit unsure about Ewers coming back this year. I got to be honest. And a large part of it was because I didn't want to see Arch Manning leave or transfer. And I know that Arch and the family said that they weren't going to be transferring, but y'all know how it goes in college football. People say one thing and then they do another. I mean, look, you have college football coaches saying, I am not going to be taking any kind of job. I love it here. I came here to be here forever. And then the next day, they're taking a job somewhere. So look, talk is cheap in college football when it comes to guys moving to different places. Talk is cheap. So with Arch Manning, even though he was saying he was going to stay, even when Quinn decided to come back and the family was saying Arch is staying, I was holding my breath. I definitely didn't feel like it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be sticking around. Now that you obviously have Arch sticking around for another year, I think Quinn coming back was the right move. And so seeing him continue to mature in this way, he's only padding his draft stock. I mean, look, somebody, one of my buddies in a group thread that I have was like, he's trying to go in the first round of the NFL draft this next year. And I'm like, buddy, he's trying to be the number one pick with what he's doing right now. And I think if Quinn continues to play like this, he is going to get talked about as a number one pick type. Let's see what he does against OU and let's see what he does against Georgia. If he comes out of those games balling out, that stock is going to go through the freaking roof. Let me keep going back on TikTok comments here. Harley Boy on TikTok says Texas is going to get beat twice in the SEC. Maybe Georgia, but who do you think is going to be beating Texas again in the SEC? I don't see any team on paper that really should be beating Texas. The only two I see are OU, maybe, and of course the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't think Mississippi State's beating Texas at home. Florida is not beating Texas. I don't think the Hogs are going to beat Texas this year. I don't see any losses, potential losses, in the SEC this season for Texas beyond OU and Georgia. And the Georgia one is definitely, I would say, a little more leaning to the Dogs than the Red River is leaning towards the Sooners. So I disagree. I don't think that they're going to lose against OU. I think maybe they lose against the Dogs. I can't see a whole lot else. All right, here's another comment. I don't like Texas at all, but are you crazy saying 3 losses? They'll be lucky to have 1 loss. No, I'm just saying, I definitely am not saying Texas is going to lose 3 games. Don't take it the wrong way at all. What I'm saying is, I wonder if a 3-loss Texas even has a shot at getting in. Do I think Texas is going to lose 3 games? Absolutely not. I think 2 at the most, and probably 1 is what it's going to be. I don't think Texas is going to lose three games. My comment was, just to clarify, does a three-loss Texas, let's say Texas loses to OU, they lose to Georgia, and maybe they lose to another SEC opponent. Does a three-loss Texas get in? I don't know. I'm not sure. I would say probably no at this point, but I don't know what the committee is going to do now that it's 12 teams. Just don't know. A three-loss OSU, Oregon, or Penn State gets in? I don't know. I just don't know about this three-loss stuff, y'all. I really don't. I don't know if a three-loss SEC team or Big Ten team is going to get in. It probably depends on who you beat, right? So let's say, like, Texas ends up beating Georgia and OU, but they lose to A&M the last game of the season. Oh, that makes my skin crawl just saying that. Oof. I don't even want to think about that. And by the way, it's not happening. But let's say that they do lose after beating Georgia, after beating OU. I don't know. I think that they probably get in for sure with two losses. I think three is questionable. Let me keep going. I'm trying to keep up with all these comments. Y'all are doing awesome. Let me see here. As a Michigan fan, this is Jansen on TikTok. As a Michigan fan, y'all had the better team. Picked y'all to win the Natty. Complete team all around. I do agree with everything that was just said. I mean, look, I'm a little biased, clearly. This is Right on Rangers. We cover everything Texas sports, all the teams we love from the great state of Texas. So, yes, we're a little biased, but I couldn't agree more. I do think the Longhorns have a complete team this year. The defense is lights out. Benda was outstanding today, seven tackles, flying all over the field, had a couple of turnovers, or three turnovers today, excuse me, fumble recovery and two picks. Defense looks suffocating this year. Somebody's asking, do I like Nebraska? Fun story here. I actually went to college in Nebraska, not at Nebraska, but real, real small school, played baseball there, had a lot of friends that I went to college with that were Huskers fans. I got to be real. I don't shed any tears when the Huskers lose or struggle. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I definitely do not mind watching the Huskers lose on Saturdays. I can't say I'm like the biggest Huskers hater, but I definitely do not mind watching them lose. Some of those battles that the Huskers and the Horns had when we were all in the Big 12 were classics. I love that 1 second left. I will hold on to that 1 second in that Big 12 championship game. That was the Ndamukong Suh throwing around Colt McCoy like a ragdoll game. And then, you know, hitting the last second field goal through the uprights. I mean, look, just sneaking it in. That was a classic. Look, I don't mind seeing the Huskers lose. I'm not even going to lie to you. Let me keep going. Appreciate all y'all that are following. By the way, if you're not following yet, I would really appreciate it if you would hit that follow or subscribe button. Keep up to date with all our latest and greatest content. We put out short videos. We go live after Texas games. We're going to go live after the Cowboys game tomorrow. So, hey, if you're a Cowboys hater or a Cowboys diehard, come join us tomorrow. We'd love to have you. We go live after every Rangers game as well. So this is a busy weekend for me, but we're having a lot of fun. But appreciate all y'all that are following. That means a lot. Like I said, if you have a team in the SEC, you're not a Longhorns fan, but your team's in the SEC, you want to talk some SEC football, come hang out. I'm not one of those creators, not one of those podcasts that is trying to hate on and keep everybody away. Hey, if you want to come join us, talk about SEC, I'd be happy to do it. You know what? I'm going to have to think about this one. On TikTok. Friendly wager is the comment. If Georgia wins, you change your profile pic to the G. If you win, I change mine to the T. I kind of like that. You know what? Remind me about it. I'm not going to lie to you. I definitely might forget about that one. You know what I should do? You know what I might be willing to do is maybe if I don't do the profile, I'm trying to think if I got any buddies close by that have like a hat or a shirt. Maybe I could do something like that. That's going to pain me to no end. Let me think about that one. I'm actually pretty open to it. But that's going to be painful to put on the G. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. A couple of y'all saying no three-loss team gets in. I think you probably are right. Penn State winning by 7 versus Bowling Green. Jeez. Bowling Green, is that right? I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm not really paying attention to a lot of other scores right now. It's hard keeping track of all y'all's comments, which I'm loving, by the way. and then keep my eye on the scoreboard. But I'm going to go to the scoreboard right now. I think we've gone through enough box score stuff with the game for today. We talked about Benda, the seven tackles. I already went through all the offense. The time of possession was pretty even today against the Wolverines. I think we had 32 minutes to their 28. Let's see what's going on, though. I got top 25 here. Notre Dame is only beating Northern Illinois by one. Are you kidding me? Northern Illinois is down one with 7.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And that is at Notre Dame. That's got to be the story of the day right there. Wow. Okay, let's see what else we got. Let's see. Ole Miss kicking Middle Tennessee's butt, 31-3. What else? We've already got a lot of games that went final, huh? Georgia won 48-3. There you go. Tennessee Tech. I mean, look, Longhorns are about to play some cupcakes too, so I'm not going to get on y'all. Y'all played Clemson last week. Again, another team I got to give respect to. You schedule a pretty decent opponent, pretty solid opponent week one. It's impressive. So I tip my hat. Penn State, that game went final. I was thinking maybe that game was still going, but Penn State, again, at home. Bowling Green almost knocks off Penn State at home. My goodness. Arkansas had a hot start against Oklahoma State. I really thought that the Hogs were going to end up winning that one. When I checked the score, it was 21-7 at the half. And then Oklahoma State, just with an onslaught late, that game went to OT. And the Cowboys are able to pull it out in OT against the Hogs. Kansas State wins 34-27 against Tulane. And Georgia Tech falls to Syracuse, 23-ranked Georgia Tech. So look, we've already got some interesting storylines, I feel like, in college football right now, but that is crazy. That's crazy. Apple user Hookem, appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. Yep, getting that dub in Ann Arbor. You can't beat it. Can't beat that dub in A2. Great win today. Roll Tide. Let's see, who does Alabama have? Who does Alabama have today? I don't know. Are they playing today? Let me see. They got South Florida. Okay, so not a very sexy matchup, but look, you got to have them at some point in the non-conference. You can't play a top 25 team every week before you get into SEC play. But Bama plays South Florida. Let's see if there's anything else top 25. Ohio State plays Western Michigan. Let's see. NC State plays Tennessee. That might be a pretty decent game, huh? NC State at home against Tennessee, number 14 Tennessee versus number 24 NC State. Oh, come on. Razzle dazzle. Come on now. Texas is already better than most of the teams in the SEC. Don't even play on that one. Come on now. Somebody says, oh, y'all like this Georgia bet, don't you? Y'all like this Georgia bet. Look, I'm not too proud. College football, y'all are going to see me get upset when the Longhorns drop a game, but I'm not too proud. Look, hey, John, I'm seeing the comment right now. Hey, you know what? All right, I'll do it. If Texas loses, I'll do the Georgia hat. I'll do it. I'll do a Georgia hat. The shirt might still be there, but I'll wear the Georgia hat if Georgia can knock them off. Let's have some fun with it. Let's have some fun with it. So I'm going to trust y'all because I'm not going to be tracking y'all down. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm too busy for that. I'm not going to track y'all down. But y'all got to do the right thing. If the Horns beat the Dogs in Austin on October 19th, I better see some Longhorns logos coming into the chat. But I'll wear the Georgia hat if the Dogs can knock them off. Bet? All right. Shake. Let's get it done. Let's do it. Let's have some fun with it. This is what makes college football more fun anyways. You have some fun bets like this with some fans of other teams. Look, we'll do it. I will not do a Texas A&M bet like this. I can stomach a Georgia Bulldogs hat. I cannot stomach wearing an A&M hat or an OU hat. I can't do it. I'd rather lose money. I would rather lose hard-earned money than wear either one of those hats. I'll do a Georgia hat. I will not be doing an Aggies or an OU hat. That would be too painful, and I do not want that living on the internet forever, me wearing one of those hats. Absolutely not. I'm trying to keep my digital footprint a little bit better than that. OU and A&M is going to have to be a no. Aggie fan here joining us. Okay, hey, I appreciate you. Look, we are a fan of anybody coming in and hanging out with us talking college football. You seen what we just did? We're going through the scoreboard for today. Let's do it. Aggie fan here, Texas is the truth. Look, I agree. I agree. I want to see OU. I want to see what happens in the Georgia game. Even if we take an L against Georgia, I want to see how we look. Do we look like we can hang? Do we look like Georgia is a cut above? Because y'all know how it goes. You can take an L and you still look pretty good doing it, but you can take an L and it looks ugly. So are we going to look competitive, look like we're in the same class against the Dogs, against the Sooners, or is it going to be a little ugly? That is what I am looking for when it comes to those two matchups on October 12th and 13th. All right, here's somebody else. Bro, does Tennessee cover the spread tonight? Look, I'm a big fan of home dogs under the lights. Home dog under the lights, which it is going to be NC State at home against Tennessee. I would take the points. And I would kind of do it on principle. So if it's 8.5 right now, NC State is getting 8.5. They're at home under the lights. It's kind of a principle bet for me. Do I think NC State is necessarily going to win? No. But do I think that they're going to be up for this game and that it probably is going to be back and forth early and then late it's anybody's game? I could see a scenario like that. And then with 8.5, you always got to think about the backdoor touchdown. So let's say Tennessee is up by 14 late. Who's to say that NC State doesn't come down and get a garbage touchdown and then you're backdooring it? So for me, under the lights, getting 8.5 against the Tennessee team that has had its moments over the past couple of seasons. I know they got new guys, so you can't really predicate every prediction off of what happened the last year or the team last year. But look, it's more fun betting a dog too. Can we all just be honest about that? It's more fun when you're betting on the dog at home. That's just me. Dan says everyone wants to be a Texas fan now that they're good again. Look, we went through some tough times, Longhorns Nation. We went through some tough times. The first year that Sark was in charge, you know, the back end of the Herman years, the Charlie Strong years, we went through some tough times, Texas Nation, but I think we can say that the Longhorns, I don't like to say the Sam Ellinger quote at the end of the Sugar Bowl game against the Dogs. I don't like to say that out loud. If you are a diehard, you know what that quote is. I'm not going to say it. I do have a lot of superstitious beliefs when it comes to sports. I'm not saying it. But I do think that Texas is the truth. As the Aggie fan, Cullen, I think it was, in TikTok put it, I do think they're the truth this year. I do. I do think they've got a team. I hope that this is satire. Somebody said in the comments on TikTok that Michigan should have beat Texas. Come on now. No, they shouldn't have. That game wasn't even close. That looked like Texas playing one of those non-conference games, like McNeese State that A&M played today. That's what that game looked like today. I'm not saying it, Ishmael. I'm not saying it. Again, if you're a diehard, you know the Sam Ellinger quote after the Sugar Bowl game against Georgia. You know it, but don't say it. We don't say that around here. We say it after the natty has been won. Fair? We say the quote after the natty has been won. Until the natty has been won, we do not say that quote here at Right on Rangers. We will not be saying it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you feel free to look it up. Sam Ellinger postgame, Georgia Sugar Bowl, whatever that was, 2019, 2020. No, not Tennessee. Texas, and then Texas. All right? Hey. By the time we're done, after a couple of go-rounds with the Volunteers, nobody's going to think this T is Tennessee anymore. I'm just saying, when we're done with the Volunteers, we don't play them this year. Maybe we'll get them in the playoff. I doubt we'll get them in the SEC championship. Nobody is going to be thinking about Tennessee when they see this by the time the Longhorns are done. By the way, I know this is more of a baseball hat. They don't really wear this hat for football a whole lot. This is more baseball. But nevertheless, I'm still going to wear it. One of my favorite hats. I don't care if people think about Tennessee for a second. I think y'all see the shirt and can figure it out. Anyways, let's keep looking at scores here, and then I'm going to wrap things up for today. I've loved hanging out with y'all. We'll be back next weekend again after the game against UTSA. I imagine we'll probably spend a little more time talking about other teams. But for the UTSA preview, all I can say is last year was a little too close for comfort. The score looks like we beat them worse than what it really was, but we needed a pick six late in order to pull away. I hope that the UTSA game is a little less close this year. And UTSA, by the way, this year, I believe coming into the game, let me see here. Got to scroll a little bit. UTSA is, what's their record? What did they do? They're losing 35-3 right now to Texas State. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, by the way. But UTSA is losing 35-3 right now to Texas State. If that game is not four touchdowns going into halftime, I'll be a little disappointed. I don't want to make up any kind of loftier statement than that, but Texas State is beating UTSA 35-3 right now. Oof. And they won against Kennesaw State 28-16 at home. Look, UTSA, I don't know if they've got a team like they had in recent years. It doesn't look like it, losing 35-3 in the third quarter. Oh, that was at halftime. That's the halftime score. Texas State 35, UTSA 3. We're talking about the Longhorns opponent for next week, UTSA. Ooh, that's ugly. All right, let's get back to it. UT going to destroy NC State. I don't think we play NC State. We play Louisiana Monroe and UTSA. Oh, you're talking about Tennessee. Nah, that's just not going to work. When we talk about Tennessee, we might have to change that to TU. We might have to do what the Aggies fans try to do to Longhorns fans. So if you don't know, Aggies fans, they don't say UT when they talk about the University of Texas. They say TU. They think they're funny. They think they're cute. They're not. So we might have to TU Tennessee. I don't know. We might have to TU them. This is going to get confusing. I don't care that Tennessee is older. This is going to get confusing. I'm just messing around. I know, Braden. I'm just having some fun. So we've got Tennessee against NC State. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good one. I don't know if it's going to be a destroy job. I really don't. I think it might be a closer game than you think. But anyways, I'm an Aggie fan. Jonathan, what's up? And we won today. Well, y'all played McNeese State. Of course, y'all going to get a win today. If you didn't get a win today, I'd be worried. But y'all didn't cover the spread. You're supposed to win by 50. I don't think it was quite that much. I think it was like 40-something. Come on now. By the way, I mentioned this already. I'll keep plugging it. I'm betting my challenge this year that I'm doing for all my shorts and reels and all that, I'm betting 1 cent for every follower on whoever is playing Texas A&M to cover the spread. So far, it's 2-0. Notre Dame covered the spread against A&M. McNeese State covered 49.5 against A&M today. So, you know what? I'm going to keep having fun with it, but the system is 2-0 right now. That's why y'all got to hit that follow and subscribe button. Let's keep on keeping on with this challenge. Let's raise the stakes a little bit. Let's make some money off of Texas A&M opponents covering the spread. I would love to see it. Tennessee point spread, I heard it was 8.5. Somebody's asking for the point spread on the Tennessee game. I heard it was 8.5. I told y'all, my principle when it comes to games like this, you've got NC State at home, under the lights, big game, ABC, ESPN, and you've got the opportunity for a backdoor, 8.5. Tennessee, let's say they're up 16, let's say they're up 14 late. They're up 2 touchdowns late. You get a backdoor cover. NC State, maybe they play a close game all the way through. If it's up to 10, I think you got to take that on principle. If it's up to 10, you got to take that on principle. Look, I'm not saying that they're going to cover it, so don't take this as gospel truth. I'm just saying when you're betting sports, there are principles, and for me, one of mine is you got a dog at home, under the lights, big stage. I think that I want the points in that scenario. I don't know over under. I can't give you a good feel on that. So over-under is 61. I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you a good feel on that. But look, I like the 8.5 or the 9.5. If it's at 10, I think that is a done deal. Run and get that number if you can. But I'm going to be having some fun watching that game. I have admittedly watched a lot more SEC football this year. I was already kind of trying to keep my eye on it a little bit last year, but now that we're in the SEC this year, I've been keeping my eye a lot more on some of these matchups and just who's playing who. So it's been great. Victor, I know it's been a while, by the way. For those of y'all that don't know, I got TikTok on the phone here. I got my Mac going right here with Facebook, X, Instagram. YouTube. So I know I'm looking like all over the place. I just want to make sure y'all know what's up. But on Facebook, Victor, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Hook 'em Horns. Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for the comment. So we're going to get close to wrapping things up. Auburn just caught a break. I saw that. I got a couple of things up, kind of split screen mode here. So we'll see what happens in that game. But looks like Auburn might be able to right the ship here. Are they even ranked? Is Auburn ranked? Doesn't look like they are at this point. I'm getting top 25. I need to go to all scores right now. I'm going to go to all scores. Are y'all watching this Notre Dame game? Notre Dame, Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois has the ball at the Notre Dame 20 with a minute 38 left, down one. So Notre Dame about to get knocked off. Northern Illinois, you would figure at least could kick a field goal here. If they get this first down, they're going to be able to wind clock. So Notre Dame, on upset alert, Notre Dame might be going down to Northern Illinois in South Bend. Oh, that's an ugly loss for them. Hey, you know what, though? They lose that, and A&M loss looks a whole lot worse, does it not? You couldn't beat a team that lost to Northern Illinois. That A&M loss looks a whole lot worse if Northern Illinois can pull off the upset in South Bend against the Fighting Irish. My goodness, I'm keeping my eye on that. So right now, 43 seconds left. Looks like a 3rd-and-2. I'm just on ESPN Gamecast, guys. I don't have this game live. So if y'all are watching it live on NBC and you get an update before me, looks like Northern Illinois just called a timeout. And again, 43 seconds left. Big 3rd-and-2 coming up. 37-yard field goal from this point. Man, this would be fun. Logan Webb under 18.5 outs. So basically, is Logan Webb going to go 6 1/3? I don't know. Are the Giants in the play? Are they doing playoff baseball? Are they? I don't know what their record is. So, by the way, we cover all sports. So y'all are going to see in the comments probably baseball, football, maybe a little basketball. So just so you know, we get a little random at times, but we'll always bring it back to college football if we're doing a Longhorns broadcast. Logan Webb under 18.5. I don't know. I could see them going 6 and then calling it good with him. That's a tough one. Don't know if I'm going to be able to have an opinion there. CD, hook 'em. Appreciate you. Hook 'em, man. Thanks for joining the show. Means a lot. Thanks for the comment. Still waiting on this Northern Illinois 3rd-and-2 play. Haven't gotten an update yet. Looks like they just ran it, and they didn't get the first down. So it's 4th-and-1 now with 36 seconds left. So this is a tough call as a coach. Do you go field goal? I think you got to go field goal and just take the points here. But if you want to play aggressive, you could get the first down and pretty much milk the clock however you want. But you figure even if they get the first down, I don't think they're going to be doing very much. You would think that they would probably run one or two more plays and then kick anyway. So my only argument for kicking it right here, if you don't get it, you lose. If you don't get it, you lose. If you kick it right now, you're at least up 16-14 and Dame only has 30 seconds left to get into field goal range. And they really haven't been moving the ball very well at all the entire game. Man, I would love to see Northern Illinois pull this off right now. Again, it only makes the A&M loss to Notre Dame look worse if Northern Illinois can pull this off. Woof. Notre Dame. Ugly. They're number 5 in the country. You know that's not sticking. They're number 5 in the country right now, and Notre Dame is about to lose to Northern Illinois if they can hit this 36-yard field goal. I assume they're going to kick the field goal. Maybe coach is going to get bold here and make something happen. Steve, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Michigan fan, congrats. You killed us. Hey, respect. Appreciate it. Look, I told everybody, if you're a Longhorns fan, you better be cheering for Michigan the rest of the way. Michigan doing well only makes Texas look better. So go Michigan against Ohio State and pretty much everybody else. I would like Michigan to win out. If you got to lose, only lose one more game, please. We need Michigan playing great the rest of the year. We do not want Michigan. We do not want Michigan losing 4 games this year, Longhorns Nation. We do not want that. We want Michigan losing 2 games max because we want this to be a quality win on the road. We don't want people hating on the Longhorns when it comes to playoff decision time, trying to make this win in Ann Arbor lesser. We ain't trying to hear that. Yep. Let me see here. What else we got? I don't think Michigan's winning out. Look, I don't think they will either, but could they maybe only lose one more? I think that that is a possibility. The Big Ten did get a lot harder this year, but I think them only losing one game is a possibility as Northern Illinois just boots through the 36-yard field goal. So Northern Illinois is now up 16-14 in South Bend. This has got to be the biggest upset of the year so far. Number 5 Notre Dame at home after a big win against Texas A&M at Kyle Field, one of the toughest environments to play. They come back home and potentially going to get beat by the Northern Illinois Huskies. My goodness. My goodness. All right, 31 seconds left. Buckle up. Let's see if Dame can get in field goal range. With a field goal, they would be able to take a 17-16 lead. Now, don't know how many timeouts they have left. ESPN Gamecast isn't showing me. If anybody's watching live, drop it in the comments here. We'll see what happens. Yep. Defending national champs, look, got a lot of respect for Michigan. I think most of us objectively, you know, you're not a Michigan fan. Objectively, I think most of us thought there'd probably be somewhat of a fall off after Harbaugh left. Harbaugh is just, in my opinion, one of the best football coaches there is. Every time he goes to a new place, he always seems to inject new life, new competitive spirit. The teams appear to have better years than what they did the year before. Stanford, the Niners, Michigan, and I think the Chargers are probably going to be pretty good this year too, if I had to guess. All right, I'll keep going here for just a little bit longer. I'm going to finish out this Notre Dame game, and then I got to get off. Because we've already been going an hour and a half here. So we're going to get off here in a second. But 30 seconds left. Let's see if Notre Dame can finish this one out. Terry, I agree. And we were talking about that earlier. And look, I don't follow Michigan football as well as I do, obviously, with the Longhorns. I mean, I hear things here and there. But I kind of wondered the players that they probably lost when Harbaugh left. So we'll see what happens. Trenton, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Trenton says, I'm a Michigan fan. I was there. You guys are the best team in the country, bar none. Oh, my gosh. Look, it sounds nice. I'm keeping it with the Georgia Bulldogs for right now. I think the Georgia Bulldogs are the best team in the country. Now, that'll get settled on October 19th in Austin. But I can't say best team in the country yet. I like how it sounds. It's got a nice ring to it. But I can't say best team in the country yet. All right. Here's what we got, by the way. We've got, looks like, again, 31 seconds left. Northern Illinois up 16-14. One of the biggest upsets in college football, probably of the season, I bet, coming your way right here. Number 5, Notre Dame losing with 24 seconds left against the Northern Illinois Huskies. Oh, my gosh. That is gross if you're a Notre Dame fan. Absolutely gross. Terry says, I don't know if we had a better quarterback, we would have made it a better game. I don't know why more state. Yeah, the quarterback situation, I had at least read that they were still kind of trying to figure it out. The Wolverines were. I'm sure that as the season goes on, they're maybe going to make some changes if the performance like today continues. But you would know better than me. Rusty says, dude, Texas is going to have 2 losses this season. You beat a weak Michigan team. It's already starting. Right on cue, I told y'all. This is how it's going to go. We beat a weak Michigan team. It's not really that great of a win. It just happened a few hours ago, went final, and we've already got people trying to downplay it. Come on now. Right on cue. We get it. There's haters out there. Right on cue. Already trying to downplay the win. No, not yet. Let's see how Michigan does the rest of the year. Look, if they lose 4 or 5 games, of course, anybody with a brain is going to say, yeah, they weren't that good this year. Right? Rusty, book it. Come back. Come back next week. Come back after the Oklahoma game. Hey, Rusty, before you leave, what are the 2 losses going to be? Rusty says Horns are going to lose 2 games just so we can hold each other accountable here. What are the 2 losses going to be? I'm sure you're going to say Georgia. Who's the other loss going to be? By the way, Notre Dame is driving. They've got the ball on the NIU 44. NIU 44, 2nd and 10. 9 seconds left is what Gamecast is telling me. That would be an awful long field goal, 61 yards right now. The play here has got to be get a first down and clock it, but you don't have much time left. Rusty, thanks. Can appreciate that. Rusty says, congrats on the win today. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Hook 'em horns to all y'all watching out there. Longhorns Nation, good win today. Look, we lose and everybody's coming out against us. It's kind of one of those where the haters are going to hate on the win regardless. We lose. We're just going to get fried by everybody today. So it's tough. But I think you got to say, until Michigan loses a number of games, you got to say this was a pretty good win, I think, overall. 5 seconds left in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish game versus the Huskies of Northern Illinois. 3rd and 10, ball on the 44-yard line of Northern Illinois. This would be a 61-yard field goal. I can't imagine they're going to try and run multiple plays here with 5 seconds left. So this could be the game right here coming up. Northern Illinois wins. Is that final? Because I'm not watching live. I got this on Gamecast. Is that right? Northern Illinois just won? If that really did just happen, I could not be any happier. Northern Illinois knocks off Notre Dame. The Aggies' loss last week looks even worse. It does. I mean, that Aggies' loss looks even more terrible at home against Notre Dame, a team that just lost to the Northern Illinois Huskies. My goodness. That's ugly. You're a Notre Dame fan? What a loss. That is ugly. All right, y'all. Look, we've been hanging out long enough. We'll be back later on. We'll do a little Texas Rangers live as well. Those of y'all that enjoy following along, I know the Rangers aren't doing that great this season, but we have faithfully covered every Texas Rangers game post-game, just like we're doing with the Longhorns. We'll do it with the Cowboys tomorrow too. So thanks for hanging out. Appreciate all of y'all that have been following along. Thank you for following the channel. We had almost 20 new followers today on TikTok during the live. Appreciate y'all. Thank you so much. Come hang out again. Next weekend, we'll be talking more college football after the Longhorns play UTSA. Everybody's welcome. Come talk SEC football, college football in general. We just covered Notre Dame getting upset by Northern Illinois. It's a blast. College football's back, and we could not be happier here at Right on Rangers. Thank you again so much for your support, the likes, the views, everything, the comments. Y'all were great. You make this fun. Thanks for tuning in. And as I always say to end every show, God bless. And go Longhorns. Have a good one.